Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, May the 14th, 2013. This is hour 186 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And now we hear from Sharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. And it's just before we started, you said that Sharon is on the sidelines waiting. So that's great.
Yeah, they always are. You know, it's... sometimes receive visions, and a lot of times they prefer active communication, because on a vision it tends to be just, you know, sort of like a one-way transmission.
Mm-hmm. So, well, last week we... Well, let me start off by reading a letter that Kathleen recently sent. Thank goodness it's good news. Hello, Curtis. Just wanted to update you on my son's condition. This is her son, Justin. He's recuperating at a pretty fast clip. Yesterday they took the feeding tube out, and he's eating solid food, and he's been drinking for several days now. His kidneys are kicking in, and his overall soreness and weakness seems to be his biggest problem. I am just so grateful beyond words for the prayers and energy sent his way. Even though this was the hardest thing I have had to face in my life, I feel so humbled by the love and care that was sent our way by our earthly family of God and by our heavenly family of God. I've never felt alone in this difficult walk, and I hope that I've learned the things that I should have. I know I'm not the same person I was. All praises and glory to our universal Father, whose love never fails. And then she says, We have ordered the silver pulsar and the magnetic pulsar to start the Beck protocol. We already have the water ozonator, and we all plan to follow this health plan along with my son, Justin. Thank you, Curtis, for your Electricity for Health section, and to you, Ted, for mentioning the Beck protocol. Bless you both for your care and concern. Love and joy, Kathleen. And I have just added the YouTube to the right-hand column of the Michael Connection page in a spot there for Dr. Bob Beck's lecture on suppressed medical discovery to treat all diseases. That was the Beck protocol. And what I said to Kathleen, I wrote to her about the section called Electricity for Health. In there is a section, I believe it's called Drink Ozone Water or Drink Ozone. And there's several videos in there. I suggest that she watch all of them, and it sounds like she did, and that's terrific. And wonderful news, Kathleen, your son's doing well. Thank you, Justin, for coming around. You've saved the day. So, it's good news. George Filer's daughter passed away. I'm sorry to say, his other daughter. He lost his daughter Elizabeth on the 8th of March and his daughter Victoria on the 28th of April. I knew Victoria, beautiful woman, and she just had difficulty, and I showed him the ozonator. But they listen to their doctor. And Michael, just before we started, you used the words healing in the scalpel. All right.
Yeah, that's one of the there's different approaches with medicine. One of them, of course, is the scalpel, you know, basically the scalpel as you can, you know, try to cut it out or heal it out by using the scalpel. That's somewhat primitive. You know, remember the old concept of bloodletting. You know,
that's, you know, actually
archaic, that concept of bloodletting and for healing. We're approaching a time where we will be using scalar technologies to heal with. And of course, we are natural scalar, not necessarily projectors, because really the scalar domain, the domain or the scalar entirety of totality is really where our consciousness affects. That's why we can send good wishes and prayerful energetic helps through a domain which is quite divine, and applying our personal will, and the impression will become, you know, actually a unified activity between our own will and God's actual power that brings about that healing. And this is some of the intention by which we need to just realize that we are real energy or scalar energy directors, you might say, on a personal level. We can, you know, that's how things happen in terms of various forms of miracles. And this is the way, you know, I said a while back, I just don't know how it works. Well, this is where the Sharun in concert kind of nudged me and said, go look up scalar waves, because from there it'll open up my understanding into where scalar really comes from, this concept of scalar wave, which is not really fully, it's not full description of what it is, you know, because all of this ends up coming from what is called the unqualified absolute in the Rancho book. The unqualified absolute is really where this primordial or totally unified energetic is, can't use words such as propagate, can't use words such as these kinds of, they don't give full description of what it really is, but omnipresent in a sense, because you're working with our limits in understanding dimensionality. Much of our science today is stuck in imperfect understanding of physics. Yet, I was pointed to understand scalar in terms of a very famous physicist, Isaac Newton. There's a toy that's named after Isaac Newton. It's called Newton's Cradle. You know what Newton's Cradle is?
No, I don't.
You do, actually. It's really suspended balls all lined up in a row.
Oh, and, yes.
I know. And then, yeah, you hit one, you know, you pull one back and you let it strike the rest and then pop, whatever, you hit one, you know, one ball. Yeah. It's to demonstrate the conservation of energy, kinetic action. And they kept trying to simplify it so I could figure it out. Because one of the things that we are trained is, I'm, you know, trained in electronics and electrophysics, and understand somewhat the propagation of transverse waves, like AC current, radiant energy, light energy, radiant, our sun's energies, radiant waves, which travel at the speed of light, and some of the particle energies that, you know, impinge on our planet and make it down to where we are, travel maybe at a lower speed, and maybe much less than the speed of light. But the concept of scalar energy, scalar propagation, if you were to even think about it being propagated, would look like Newton's cradle. If you were to, by will, pull up on one ball and then let it strike, and you see that ball come out the other end, what they did next was, in that image, the balls going back and forth, click, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Swinging back and forth, click, 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 click. Suddenly, the middle balls disappear. Now you just see the ball click, 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 but there's something that this kinetics is that is demonstrating. Newton's, you know, cradle is demonstrating this conservation of energy principle suddenly becomes scalar. In other words, there's nothing in between the balls that pop, you just strike it, start it, and yet it appears to have disturbed the other end with, you know, the same pop. Popping in, popping out, popping in, popping out, spin right, spin left. These things happen at a speed that is beyond the speed of light. And I found that the Urantia book describes many times movements that are in excess of the speed of light. The mighty messengers travel in excess of the speed of light. And this is a mighty messenger happens to be a ascended mortal, generally. And they have ascended fully through to becoming a true spiritual being. Now, when we're looking at him as a giver of some of the retold story of the Urantia book, or what the Urantia book comes from. Urantia has written in it these concepts. So I want to bring Sarun in, and he probably could explain it more fluently if it's something that you want to know about.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Okay, so let me express that desire forward. Tahir warung wa sa sharun ararekya sandoto ka santre kochi shna rufi shna rara rukro paras. Sharun is here. In general, a group.
Oh, more than one Sharun?
Yes, because of the specialty of description, many times we will find it perhaps more fully explainable if we take it from various points of view. First of all, you must understand what you already know. What you already know is that there is invisible waves. You use them. You understand them. These transverse propagated waves, which are a version of electromagnetism, have a characteristic that limits their energy propagation, energy transport efficiency. You see and you understand that when it comes down to radiant energy, which is also electromagnetic and transverse in its nature, if you were to strike a match in the dark, the closer you are to this match, the brighter the area is lit around you. And as you decrease further or further away, this light becomes lessened. This is radiant transverse propagation modality. You already understand. But I challenge you now to understand scalar, your understanding of scalar. Try to make it more visible to you. If you were to take this illumination, and illuminate a portion of your domain in the dark, if you could take this match, let's say the light of this match, with you, and have it appear as if it was when you first lit that match 100 feet away, it would be an example of scalar movement. In other words, what appeared at one end appears in another end, are both the same. What happens in between is nothing. You see the organization and relationship of the radiant waves, which you can perceive as light, are organized in a manner which can be duplicated through scalar function. This function makes what is not to be as it were. You might say a duplication, sudden and effective. This is a type of scalar function, an example of it. In other words, translocation is perhaps another way of putting it, but it is not relocating the energy. It is recreating the energy. Where does this come from? From first purpose. You must understand that all of these scalar functions come from a very, very old place. It is a place which is not. The term The unqualified absolute is a term which describes this place, which all things can be brought forth. You do not create something new in that. You simply take what is already created and recreate it. Not by your own understanding of using and creating energies. Instead, it is a recreation of what already is. So let that light be an example of a scalar function. In terms of propagation modality, we see that in a headlight, you can see that radiant energy propagating out and reflecting back to you. But scalar function would be to have light everywhere at all times without source. Because that is another form, not a duplication of the radiant source form, which I previously spoke of. Instead, it is a transmission into the domain of the unqualified absolute to bring forth radiant light out of nowhere. Scalar function is a different and very challenging notion to perceive when you must overcome all those things which you first learned. Do you understand what I just said?
Well, I don't understand when you said that you'll bring light from nowhere.
Yes, this is another aspect of the function in which is a non-duplicating. In other words, you do not recreate what already is. It is. This is a higher level. And it is something which is a characteristic of many of the secondary effects of energy creation. You see, there is the conservation of energy. You understand that very well.
Yeah.
But from the domain in which I speak of, the unqualified absolute, if you are able through scalar function to instruct reality to bring forth light, it shall become. How it happens is a mystery even to us. We know that it is a force that came forward from the first source, and center, who brought forth instruction to bring forth all things in order. We, from this understanding, only observe such things, and then we have, such as you, been able to recreate the conditions necessary to bring about such a thing. I will stand back and take another point of view. It is one of fire. When fire was brought forth, what was seeming to be real and stable suddenly became very different, transformed, energetic release. And you say, heat and expansion and fire and transformation of chemical energy into radiant energy is a phenomena that could be understood through chemical reactions and through transformations of the well-known substances. But what if there is more substances outside of your known domain that can produce similar transformations? I'm giving you an example, not saying that you already possess this understanding of this domain, of this substance, from which the unqualified absolute is able, by instruction, to bring forth. Scalar function, indeed, is different. When you take that function, you can move it about from one point into another. It would be as if the energy that you release naturally from, let's say, the ignition of a fire can be duplicated in terms of its energy release by placing conditions within this domain and producing unlimited amounts of energy in a position which you can use. This is not energy creation. It is energy regulation, bringing it about into the domain. When you look at transverse, sophisticated transverse attunements, these are the things that bring about the understanding of the propagation and methods of orchestrating the necessary components to use the radio spectrum. In the scalar spectrum, there is similar types of conditions that must be met. But function very differently than simple attunements. These conditional areas bring about realities that are outside of your own understanding of reality. This reality matrix is a simple movement, is a transitional movement, is a dimensional movement from one domain into another. Essentially, you move dimensionally. This is another description of a function which is scalar. It seems to bring something from nothing. Versus tuning in, resonating with what is not apparent easily into what will become very apparent. Within your mind, your consciousness, and your bodies lie the secrets that give you mobility and life. These function in concert together, bringing about dimensional reality within your domain, within where you live. But where you live still is within a domain of limitation. If you do, and will soon do, express an outward technique of bringing about a grander and more unified grasp of these extra fields that you do not quite fully understand, but are able to tap into in one form and another, your civilization will progress greatly. But the greatest part of that civilization that needs to come forth greatly is the ascension of your consciousness, to bring it up to a level in which the domain and realities that you will work with actually extend far beyond the reality which you see and feel through your own sensory understandings, and then through the field of working with the unqualified. You see, the unqualified rests. It is neither and it is. It is not and is not. It is and it is not. It is very difficult to describe until you can, through harmony with the first source, through divine understanding, bring forth greater and greater ingenious conditions that will bring forth many different forms of wonderful energies and properties which can form living barriers to disease and imbalance. You see, right now, you set yourself in a world that is not truly in balance because it is missing an understanding of some of the components. But yet, it is right here in your hands, in your very body, the additional expression of these extra-dimensional components which exceed the speed of light, which are neither energy nor matter, yet can become both. You see, if you will harmonize yourself in your heart felt, then the workings of your will harmonize and make possible the impossible. I try to give you a little bit more than simply saying working with a spiritual dimension. Because in between your place and that spiritual dimension is another gap of understanding, which you will be filling with life experience to bring about a reality of your domain, who you are. Your soul be filled and lifted, indestructible. Your life is like a scaffolding, building about into a grander dimension, all that you will become. To put it simply, your scalar destiny, you can toy with that now. And then you will understand the movement through space and time, which allows for the grander reality that you will be truly inheriting. I stand aside right now and wonder if you can understand some of these things.
Well, Sharon, I'm trying to understand them. At one point you said it was even a mystery to you or to us about where the light came from when it seemed to come from nowhere. I'm listening to your every word and trying to grasp what you're referring to with the scalar destiny that I hope to understand.
Let me say it again.
Thank you.
You understand fabric.
Yes.
Material. A blanket. Let's say the unqualified absolute is like a blanket.
All right.
If you look upon it, it is not in motion. Yet, if you were to pick up an end and wave it, it would propagate, it would change its form, it would move. But if you are able, without touching it physically, to move it, to impress your will to have it move, such a thing would be considered a scalar function. It is reasonable, and many people do, move objects. This is a scalar function. You can take your hand in your express your will through your body and move an object. Let's say a pencil. You take this pencil and it is lying on the table. You take your finger and then you push it. and it moves. But let's say you take your will, your ability to express scalar function, and now when you push it, it still moves, but not because of your finger, but because you have interacted with its domain in a way which can allow it to move. This is a scalar function that even you, your body, can accomplish.
So, Sharon, you're saying a pencil's laying on the table and I could get it to move with my ability without touching it.
Yes, but it is not your mind. It is your will in concert with the unqualified. The unqualified is like that stable blanket or the table in which the pencil rests upon. Your will would suddenly cause the table to seem to become tilted so that pencil will move. On its own. Although I use terms such as tilt, I am trying to impress upon you the movement possibility when you work with that domain of the unqualified absolute. To become truly divine, you will become able more and more to function in this domain, bringing qualifying reality to the unqualified because of your life experience, because of what you know. You see, if that pencil remained on the table and you never knew it as such, it would remain. If you desired to move it, you could, with your own hands. And once understanding that, you could move it with only your will, touching and impinging upon the unqualified. This is a scalar function. Giving quality where there is no quality. Is it repeatable? Yes. Once you do learn, it is always repeatable. Did that bring more confusion or greater clarity?
Well, the unqualified absolute still has some confusion. I understand what you were referring to when I could get my will possibly to tilt the table without the table tilting to get the pencil to move because of gravity. But this, the term unqualified absolute, I'm just stuck on the English definition of those two words together. And I'd like to hear more, Sharon, to understand this. Or be able to render the reality and make the pencil move. And you're saying I could do this, or we could do this, the listeners.
Yes.
All right, well, I'll say we are still listening to understand. And I'm sorry to say we are handicapped by our language, but we are listening with our language. And thank you for explaining it to us.
There is a game which some people have played. It is best to learn it from another person with yourself. This is one in which you take your hand and place it in front of you on a table and have a friend, another person, willing to do this. Sit across you and place their hand within close proximity to your hand. Your hand, fingertips pointing toward your friend, your friend, fingertips pointing toward you, bringing them close and closer together until you feel a vibration. This is a real and physical effect on the circulation of your body in your fingertips. This is a scalar function. Do not let your body physically touch the other person's fingertip. And you will develop that greater and greater to the point in which distance will no longer be a problem, but you will develop this ability as you realize that higher sensitivity and awaken the hidden sensory and active ability that you possess. So, you might have a game to play. You cannot do it alone. So if you were to break away, find a friend, and play this game, you would begin to extend yourselves into a higher dimensional reality, a higher sensory ability. From this will progress many things, including being able to push along a pencil without touching it.
Well, thank you, Sharon. That explains a lot. I understand you now much better. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That is fine. Many times we learn by doing. That is why it's so important that you live and condition yourself to want to live, to experience more and more. The dimension of growth into the universe consciousness is not a sudden awakening. It is a progressive awakening. Mm-hmm. But at times it may seem so, that it is sudden. When suddenly the pencil moves and you did not touch it, but all along you were working toward it. then greater things will happen. I say for now, farewell.
Farewell, Sharon. Thank you.
Well, Curtis, it's a subject in which I have to say I'm sorry because he couldn't use words that I don't have, neither do, you know. But anyway, it seems like he was actually moving toward telekinesis as a scalar ability or scalar energy or scalar wave. And
well, it's like many things. It's the first step to learning something. And if it's as simple as moving a pencil with our thoughts, and then I like how Sharon ended by saying, then greater things will happen. That's great to hear.
Yeah, I got to say that the greater things that happen are remarkable and they just continue to happen until, you know, for myself, I haven't gotten to a point where I can do a lot of these things that other people can have been able to do using scalar energy, apparently, or scalar components. Yeah, so they have been able to. I saw some on some TV programs that showed some monks way up in Tibet and freezing weather. They were able to take this cloth and put it wet cloth and put it on their bodies, which would have caused them to freeze, and it instead started to steam. And turned dry and ended up dry, which was a different type of tapping into scalar energy through their meditation process. So there's different forms of it, I believe, and different approaches. But ultimately, the monks produce this on a point where they can, you know, can do that. For me, I was able to recognize myself working with fire of all things, you know, and not be burnt, you know. And it was remarkable because having my feet, perhaps, let's say, in the zone of like fire, you know, like everything would burn off, and yet when I touched my foot, I said, you know, it would be burned, you know, and it was exactly the opposite. It was ice cold, and this is another way in which working with that extra dimension of reality and on a higher sensory ability. So that's one of the areas. And
so do you think that Sharon is suggesting that that we have the power to do this with practice?
Oh, he knows we do. Yeah, I think when it comes down to, it's first the natural, you know, and then we move, we kind of copy it. Mm-hmm. And many of the things that we brought into technology, we kind of mimicked, you know, like flight is a good example, like flying a plane, you know, copying the natural, the mechanism of the wing. I guess there is going to be a point in which it's going to become accepted that the scalar technologies, realities are going to become more and more accepted to the point we start to harness them.
Well, we're still using rocketry to get off the planet. It's 1,000 years old. So,
this is one of the things that I wanted to say. Oh, it's going to try to bring back to Earth. Okay, technology. Some technology that we could use instead. I brought back an understanding that technology and between technology and living and a living organism at their level is so indistinguishable. You know, living machines, living spheres, the entire New Jerusalem sphere is like it's alive. It grows, you know, it's totally dimensionally very different in terms of what technologies are. Yet we're moving very rapidly toward becoming, you know, engaged in that technology, being able to use it commonly, and then we'll, I guess, be moving into more and more higher dimensional realities. The problem, I think, that when it came down to some of these technologies of free energy, using scalar technology for free energy, zero-point energy, is that these discoveries were made, but they were always blocked, bought off, or something, you know, hit them off at the pass before, you know, the financial things, the money thing behind it has blocked a lot of this. And they threw a lot of the development of these psychic gifts, psychic phenomena, or extra sensory development, which is part of our human experience, it's supposed to be part of our growth experience. It threw that in a box of, you know, it says it's not real. But if you practice it, tremendous things can happen. One of the things that I realized too is when you have the unqualified absolute, which is spoken of, the unqualified absolute is actually a domain in which is addressable only by first source and center. Yet we can address through the domain made or a gateway made between ourselves and God, so that through a type of harmonious engagement between ourselves and divinity. And when we get to that point, we actually become more and more divine. Can actually start to express a lot of these things that will be considered extrasensory ability, phenomena that is outside the reality phenomena that we live in because of that connection.
Well, this game that Sharon spoke of
Oh, yeah.
to do with another person and a friend.
It's to sense, yeah, extend the sense.
But he's not referring to feeling the person's other fingers through body heat. He's referring to feeling them through a higher ability that, oh, what happened? Oh.
We just,
Oh, okay.
yeah.
I just heard a blank area there, but
Yeah, we dropped off.
oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, this ability to feel someone's not, he's not referring to feeling someone's heat off their fingers, but to feel, to have a connection with the other person's fingers. Is that what he's referring to? Or just being able to sense they're there? And how is that going to give us, allow us to develop that ability and be able to move
Well,
the pencil?
yeah, that's one of the active abilities, is to extend that point where you understand that that there is a reality, a real force involved, some kind of energetics you can detect. But he just quickly brought into my mind, the idea that this is a step toward moving with that partner to a point of telepathic abilities. So it's like a initial step. And he just continues on if you want to develop it. But just getting to that point where you begin to feel it and understand its reality and then enlarge it. There you will find it. There's this. You ever heard of Kirlian photography? Like it's a high energetics, like Tesla technology. He uses very high intense electricity, but they have a leaf and they charge it up, electrostatically charge it up, and then you can see. You take a picture of Kirlian photography, and you can see the energetics of this leaf, let's say a leaf, and then they cut off half the leaf, and then put it back and take a picture of it, and it still shows the full leaf, even
Oh.
if there's only half a leaf there,
Yeah.
and when they charge it up again, because the image of it is still there. And this is another point of the reality matrix that you'll be playing with. You'll be actually with it, other person, you'll be playing with that. And you gotta be, I mean, if they don't want to work with you, then it won't be very good. Yeah, I don't think so.
But Sharon was referring to doing this with another person, and not, this is an ability that we can develop that we can't develop by ourselves. Or this was just an example of his, of getting us to understand this Skeller function.
Yeah, living force.
Living
Other,
force.
I guess that might be it. But it seems that there is more to what he is saying. Just the exercise alone will bring a dimensional understanding, qualify your understanding of the reality of what he's talking about. If that doesn't happen, then, I don't think that any person with sincere attitude could get into a position where they couldn't say, yeah, detect something. I really do, and then more and more. Some people even use a point where I just get pictures of people kind of having their hands, palms facing each other. It's a bigger, you know, surface. It's your entire hand against feeling toward another person's hand, you know. And to me, that's a little bit harder to do because it's such a, you know, less focused area. Yeah.
I've done that, but when you think about it, you feel the heat from the person.
Mm-hmm.
And close your eyes, hold your two hands, your palms up to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, put your hands against my hands, but don't touch them, and I'll tell you when you did. And you mm-hmm. can feel the heat of their body.
Yeah, and that's the confusing part, where I guess the fingertip, and he started...
Yeah, the fingertip, you're not going to feel the heat of their body.
Yeah, and you're your hands are sort of like on a tabletop, he said, right?
Yes, on a tabletop.
So that means you're feeling the tabletop's heat. And
but putting your fingers together, you're not going to feel the heat of the other person's finger.
Yeah. But when you push your hands forward to the point where you touch, you touch without touching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that connection. Then actually is able to move away slowly and actually maintain that. And this may have something to do with this other phenomenon of spooky action at a distance, you know, this quantum entanglement thing, which is part of the concept of zero-point energy, scalar wave, and all of that. But, you know, seems like he didn't want to use words like spiritual because they're too nebulous, too lost.
Mm-hmm.
Try to build upon something and move on from there into more and more.
Well, I'm glad he changed. I mean, I'm glad he... thank you, Sharon, for giving me another example. And I understand the fingertips much better.
Mm-hmm.
And something we can all work on. And I loved how he ended when he said, then greater things will happen. And just a side note, Riley always said, oh, I have the information, I have the information. But he never came out with any information. Where we're hearing a lot of information from you and through you with Sharon. And thank you, Michael, and thank you, Sharon, for this.
It's something I think that they taught a lot of others on the planet, and it's mm-hmm. perhaps been kept through the ages through, you know, one person teaching another person.
Mm-hmm.
But this extra-dimensional sensory abilities are really... I think the Urantia book would qualify some of these things as saying that they're morancho, kind of halfway between physical and spiritual. So, because, we're extending ourselves beyond that. And one thing I do remember Riley saying, that he said in his book, I think it was, he said something about he was able to see his children that he said he had on another world, and they were piling up blocks or something telepathically or something, or what do you call it, psychokinetically or telekinetically.
I remember that part.
That was from his book, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be considered a morancho practice.
Mm-hmm.
But we are called to move into that level, you know. And our attunement toward paradise gravity is also a very important factor, because it pulls us straight into linking with the unqualified absolute, as was talked about, which is everywhere. You know, it's different from other things. Wendy from New Zealand pointed out something she spotted in the Urantia book about atomic cohesions. I think it said page 478, and discussion on mesotrons functions as energy carriers. But all of these are all part and parcel to the more fundamental reality of this unqualified absolute, which is something that I think Higgs wanted to give a name to that, and others said it was the Higgs field, which was necessary to give the Higgs boson its reality, which gave reality to all the quantum particles and atomic particles, molecular construction, and all the reality matrix that we live in, which was called this Higgs field. But I think when it really comes right down to it, they're pointing toward a part or a piece of this unqualified absolute, instructed by the first source, the first source and center, God Himself. Yeah. So, thank you, Wendy in New Zealand, for pointing out this other thing you discovered in that part. I think it comes from the Urantia book segment on the whole section called Energy, Mind, and Matter. Urantia book, part 2, paper 42. Yeah. The unqualified absolute was mentioned there in the very early stages of discussion.
Oh, it was? On that paper?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. There's so many other things that are discussed in there, but what I wanted to find out was how to practice or to work with this stuff. So I guess he gave us stuff that right in our own bodies you don't have to construct a device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of constructing the device, we are the device first. And mm-hmm. then from there we move into making a device. But
so when you came back from the New Jerusalem, rather than bringing back high technology, you just brought it back and found out we had it all along.
Yeah, looks like it. Yeah. And it will duplicate living technologies. But there's a problem because... Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there's a problem because the New Jerusalem had a different atmosphere also. So, I came back with a type of aura or halo. It went away after a while, but it's still something that may help us produce more of that type of extrasensual ability. You know, the Saruns, when they started rejoicing and singing a song, singing a tune, actually, each one singing a tune, so I guess it was sort of like a worship or something, a celebration anyway. They came out with purple light that emanated from their foreheads, top of their heads, and looked like glowing purple incense smoke just filling up, going up and filling up the space. So it may have something to do with that too.
Wow. Well, thank you, Michael. This is a lot to absorb on this recording. This is
Well, anyway, I think I'm going to try that fingertip to fingertip.
Yes.
Not touching, but getting close and then getting farther and farther away, I think, when we need to see if that works. Once you get that connection, see if you can feel that as you pull away. I wonder if that will work. Because that would be like once entangled, you stay entangled, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, once you grasp the first step here, the first ability.
Yeah.
Then it just goes from there with that ability to the next ability.
Yeah. And that's why I wondered how, you know, mind sharing works and all of that stuff. So it's trying to help us on a basic level. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't understand the fullness of it. Just try to develop it, maybe easier than trying to understand it fully. Because a lot of our stuff that we use, we don't really fully understand how it works anyway. You know.
A lot of what stuff we use?
A lot of our technology. We don't really fully understand how much of the technology that we use, especially electronic technology, really, really works. Mm-hmm. You know, we just know that certain things happen when you put different, you know, combinations of crystals together and things like that. Or,
well, we know how to make electricity, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's a good one. That's a really a good one. Because that's another one that Tesla and his longitudinal wave that really is a scalar wave that propagated beyond the speed of light, mm-hmm. actually would be able to penetrate non-physical material or non-conductive material and go through and come and didn't lose. It didn't lose energy or something like that as you went away from it. So if what you needed from that field, or I don't know if it's a field, but field was enough to light up a light bulb, which he went down and he was able to tap into that energy, his longitudinal wave, which is not like a propagated one. He could light up the light bulb with enough energy to, it would work everywhere. Everywhere that he went. And that was interesting. So others are using, have been able to successfully use that longitudinal, superluminal energy to actually recreate transverse energy in a place where they couldn't. Yeah. You know, which would be like, this guy was, I saw this on YouTube where a guy demonstrated that on receiving a radio signal and then, you know, putting it in a tin can, which is a shield, Faraday shield, which shields electromagnetic waves. And you could hear that as soon as you put it in the can, the radio signal went down and you had a lot of noise in the background. And then once you closed it, there was no sound. There was no, transistor radio couldn't pick up a signal. But then he was able to use this scalar technologies and send a signal to the radio, and you put it in a can, and it was working just fine. You could hear I think he was using a maybe a monocycle wave, monotone wave. Hmm. Yeah, and he could hear it humming through the can. So it was a totally different modality. Hmm. Well, what did Tesla describe?
Oh, yes, okay. Maybe we can touch on that next time a little bit more. So we're a bit over the hour this time. Thank you, Sharon. That was fantastic. And thank you, Michael.
Welcome.
Absolutely great. And as Sharon said, then greater things will happen. And things are happening. So this is really wonderful to hear this. And thanks, Sharon, for listening and helping us along our way, step by step. So we'll work on this this unqualified absolute. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, aloha, Michael.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.